Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah, podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey, gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live from the palatial 200-square-foot studio located in the basement of Dave's house, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
That's it. Welcome in. Another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk. So, from Jonesboro to Farmersville, Ruston to Monroe, grab a drink, sit back and relax, because we're going to be doing 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Look, like Coach Morris said a long time ago, playoffs, that's right, we're in the playoffs. Playoffs start next week, a little bit unfortunately, but after a 42-10 New Orleans Saints victory over the Carolina Panthers, it was a dominating performance, but listen, so much to talk about. Kamara looks to be back on track. Our defense is playing well. The offense in general, offensive line is healthy. Offense is clicking on all cylinders. Hey, did you hear about AB? Antonio Brown visiting the Saints this past week, and there's so much to talk about that, and we'll get to it. Matter of fact, playoff help. We needed some playoff help, seeding help. Did we get it? I don't think we did. We didn't really. But we'll talk a little bit about that. And what does the number three seed, the seed that the Saints have, what does that mean for them going forward? We have a lot of information for that. Matter of fact, we know 1 o'clock Sunday, we will be playing the Minnesota Vikings. We've had some history with those guys in the playoffs. It hasn't been good. But I got to tell you, this particular Saints team, this particular Vikings game, I'm not overly concerned, but and I can do that. I can overlook them because I'm not part of the team. The team shouldn't be overlooking anybody. I'm going to let you in on a secret. I don't think they will. Let's also talk. It's time for the nitty-gritty in the Pick'em League. We're going to let you know who's at the top of the leaderboard, who did well. I decided this week, especially because, you know, I was, you know, in the 10 to 15 range. I forget exactly what it was. I'm sure I'd remember if I was higher. I said, self, I am going to pick the opposite of what I think is going to happen. And quite frankly, finish right about where we were. But it was interesting that I did pick Miami. I did pick Detroit. And I tell you what, those guys played hard. They played teams that they should have lost to. And, you know, you got to be kind of proud of them. And I think that's one of the things that kind of makes professional football a little bit different from all the other sports is, I don't know if it's want to, but the type of athlete it takes to play football, and two, you can't really play football half speed or else you'll get hurt out there. So all these things we are going to talk about, and we're going to talk about them in depth. I also have the crew's going to join me a little bit later in the show. We're going to talk about the Saints. We're going to talk about their thoughts and opinions on what's going on, not only with the team, but playoffs this Sunday. That's right, playoffs. I don't have that high-pitched voice that Mora used to have. And we'll talk about the rest of the playoff field, so don't go anywhere. We have an action-packed show for you this week. It's BS and Beer, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints talk.
Tonight, on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, here's something I want to jump right into. On Friday, the news breaks. AB, Antonio Brown, formerly of the, let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he made a name for himself. Then he goes to the Raiders. Then he goes to the New England Patriots. And, I mean, the biggest drama in NFL history, potentially, and there's been a lot of it. Antonio Brown, news breaks, not only he wanted out of Los Angeles, he didn't want to be a Raider anymore. So he pushes the right buttons, he aggravates the right people, and next thing you know, he's getting released. So now he's a free agent, and there's videos of him on the internet, and he is jumping around, and he is so excited because he got cut, and now he's free to sign with whoever he wants. Next thing you know, within hours, New England Patriots knocking on his door, come play for us, and give the man a pretty good, sizable amount of money. He played one game. The news breaks about alleged, I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this, that he allegedly raped his personal trainer. Then it comes out that there was some type of personal relationship there, and it was just a baby mama drama situation, allegedly. But listen, the way he reacts to the whole thing, the way he just, I mean, I don't even know how to say it, the things that the man said, just ridiculous. But he shows up, and he has an interview and a workout scheduled with the New Orleans Saints. Leads to all kinds of speculation. What does this all mean? Why is Antonio Brown having a meeting with the New Orleans Saints one game prior to the playoffs starting? Okay, now you have to understand, because of all the issues that happened, the accusations, it has already been stated by the league that if he is signed by a team, that they will more than likely put him immediately on the commissioner's exempt list, which means that he can't play. And they said that they would keep him there until the conclusion of the investigation, which is an arbitrary thing, meaning the league can pretty much hold him hostage, or the team that signs him hold him hostage. So it leads to, what do the Saints know? What did they do? Why are they bringing him in if they know that he can't play? So it leads me to start speculating. I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's go over all the things it could possibly be. They know that there's something out there that we're not aware of. They know that there's maybe some type of lawsuit that would allow AB to play. The Saints, why would the Saints bring him in right now? Why? I mean, yeah, wait until the playoffs are over. Wait till the offseason to talk to him if you're interested in bringing him in for next year. Why now? Well, after everything is said and done, he leaves. He's taking pictures. He's tweeting who that, and he's, I mean, leading people to believe that there is something imminent going down. Well, fast forward to Sunday, Jay Glazer, who has a personal relationship with Coach Payton, pretty much puts it out there that don't expect Antonio Brown to be a part of the New Orleans Saints. One of the reasons, which I find interesting, is apparently the team, the organization, the Saints, told AB, leave your entourage at home, just come on up and talk to us and work out, and let's just talk. And AB disregarded that. He brought his whole entourage. He brought a video, a camera crew to video the whole thing. And in normal AB fashion, he makes a spectacle of the whole thing. And from what I understand, what I gather, turn the Saints off. And so I don't think that there can be any expectation, despite how good the man plays the game of football and how much the Saints could use a player like him. Someone like that opposite Michael Thomas, could you even imagine how unstoppable, especially the way that Jared Cook is playing right now? The Saints off. Oh, did I mention, and I will talk more about it later, that all of a sudden, Kamara is starting to look more explosive, look like himself, look like the guy that takes a 2-yard pass and turns it into a 7-yard first down. What would we do with a guy like that? But I don't think that we have to worry about that. I don't think that he'll be on the team no matter how much. Now, look, there's a lot of people who are happy about that, probably hearing what I'm saying, know the situation, say, I don't want that guy on the Saints team. And quite frankly, I don't know how it. I would have been very excited about his potential, about his ability, about what he brings to the team, but I don't know if I would have been too excited about the potential locker room issues that he would have brought with him. So it's hard to deny the talent. It's hard to deny what the man could have done for the team, but I don't think we have to worry about any of that, because it looks like Antonio Brown, not only does he have his legal worries, not only does he have his worries with the league, and if he can't even show up and convince a team that they should be comfortable with having him on the team, he has a tall hill to climb. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'll never be your biggest burden.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. I'm Dave Romero, and we are talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints talk. Now, we've already addressed the AB situation. He comes to town, not sure what it's all about. Looks like whatever it was about is no longer about that anymore because Jay Glazer, NFL insider, very close relationship with Sean Payton, says it looks like any kind of deal or thoughts of a deal that were, you know, contemplated, no longer in place. It looks like the Saints have taken a pass. And God, I tell you, I think he's a great talent. I think he would help the Saints. But then there's that whole other side. The reason the Saints are passing, the reason that he had problems with the other teams that he played with, is just his inability to just assimilate and be. He's a premier diva. Now, we know most receivers are divas, but there has to be some limitations to it. By the way, the New Orleans Saints beat the Carolina Panthers 42-10. The Saints were in a position where if somehow, some way, which I didn't think it would happen, but the Detroit Lions figured out a way to beat with I don't know if he's even a third team quarterback, but if Detroit figured out some way to beat the Packers, that the Saints would have that first round bye. Unfortunately, they made a game out of it. They did better and made it more interesting than I ever imagined it would be. But at the end of the day, they couldn't make one play really in the fourth quarter just to keep a drive alive or to score another point. They scored 17 points in the first half, only 3 points in the second half, leaving the Packers the opportunity to finally get it together. Because the Packers struggled offensively the entire game. And quite frankly, after watching the Packers play, I don't know, man. It's going to be difficult if the Saints have to go. And if the Saints win this weekend, they will have to go to the Packers next weekend. It's going to be cold. You know those conditions up there in Lambeau Field. I tell you, I think the Saints are equipped to handle the Packers. The Packers are not the prolific offense that they were in years past. All right, let me bring in Wesley Coleman. Wesley, I know prior to the season when the word on the street that AB was available, you were a proponent of it. You thought that he would be good for the Saints, good for the offense. He came in. He visited on Friday. Looks like reports are that deal is over with. Apparently, Jay Glazer, who has a very close relationship with Sean Payton, says Sean Payton didn't like the whole entourage after they asked AB not to do it. Give me your thoughts on what you think that was all about.
Yeah, I mean, of course the Saints are going to say the due diligence thing, and that makes sense, but I think this is more than that. They knew that bringing Antonio Brown in, even if they disguised it with five other receivers working out and all right. that this was going to get some coverage and people were going to notice. Where I've become a proponent of it is I understand when people are kind of a pain in the butt or a diva and kind of cause a distraction. But I think they're always, and we've seen in the NFL, there is a talent versus distraction or talent versus yes. pain in the butt that we weigh up. And in my opinion, going into the season, Michael Thomas, Antonio Brown, and DeAndre Hopkins are the three best receivers in football. And then whoever's fourth is down the list a little bit. And the thought of having Michael Thomas and Antonio Brown on the same team, regardless of Alvin Kamara and Jared Cook and what kind of season they're going to have, that's a scary proposition for anyone because there's nothing you can do. We're talking about a Saints team that's put up 40 points a week the last 4 weeks. You add somebody like Antonio Brown on that, it improves what you're doing.
Right.
On the offensive side of the ball, period. And the what he does is different than what Michael Thomas does. The guy can
different types of receivers.
They do the same thing. They can catch the long ball. They can catch the short pass. This dude can outrun a lot of people. He outworks so many people on the practice field. He knows how to run routes perfectly. And for all the stupid things that he does, he is a smart football wide receiver that knows that position and can play anywhere on the field.
No, and I agree with you, and you already said it, but the true, you boil this whole thing down to he's a huge distraction. But yes. Is that distraction, what they say, is the juice worth the squeeze? And in his case, it's arguable. You could debate that with your friends. You could debate that with, but having said that, the thought of Aaron Brooks, I don't know why I think of Aaron Brooks, but Antonio Brown on that Saints offense, and it would be practically unstoppable. So I think when I first heard the news and I thought that there might actually be some validity to it, I think that's when I realized that, okay, I would be okay with this, because I questioned it. It's always easy to question it when it's not happening. Like, I don't know if I do, but.
Now, I'll tell you this. If Antonio Brown came out last week and said, the only way I'm going to visit with the team is if they're going to at least sign me to a 3-year deal, I don't want the Saints visiting him. I don't want to commit 3 years to him unless we are talking about every single opt-out clause in the history of contracts on the Saints side of we can cut you at any time and owe you no money. Having said that, what the Saints were doing was smart. Is if he was to not be on the commissioner's exempt list and you were to sign him right now for the playoffs, he'd be available in the playoffs, and then he's gone next year if he's a problem. At the same time, if the commissioner's exempt list threw him on, when it's playoff bonuses, that doesn't come from the team.
Right.
That comes from the NFL. So that he'd be getting paid on the commissioner's exempt list by the NFL, not by the Saints.
Right, right. Interesting twist in the whole situation.
Pretty cool, best of both worlds. Like maybe we have the second best receiver in football on our team for the playoffs. Maybe we don't. It doesn't make us worse either way.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about the teams. The Saints end up with the third seed. It seems like for the last 2 weeks we had every opportunity for a quality team to beat a team that we needed to. And the only one that happened was actually one that we didn't expect, and that was Arizona beating Seattle last week. The 49ers played the Rams last Saturday night. I talked about it. We talked about it. It took two third-down conversions and a lollipop interception in the flats, which was just ridiculous, horrible football by the Rams for the 49ers to win that game. Then Seattle comes around. That's the game that I kind of thought we had a shot, but Seattle's so banged up. But the game's played, the 49ers don't pull away, and Seattle finds a way to get down to the goal line and somehow, inexcusably and so frustrating, gets a delay of game when they get to what? I mean, was it the 1-foot line?
They snatched snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Exactly.
I mean, what in the heck? Like, you don't need to change out the personnel. I realize you're at the 1-foot line. Quarterback sneak Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
Like, do something. Like, how do you get a – that's the dumbest delay of game I've ever even remotely heard of or seen. And it just makes no sense. I'm completely shocked that could happen.
Yeah, I don't know how an NFL team and again, as a Saints follower – you're pulling for Seattle to win, and it becomes extremely frustrating when you see those things happen. And I go back to the 49ers, a team of destiny, because if you're a 49er fan, you say, look, everything's going our way. But if you're a Saints fan, you're saying to yourself, this team's beatable. If when their luck runs out, they are not going to be as good as what you would say on paper or as their record would indicate. But the Saints, the number 3 seed, Wesley, they're moving on. They're going to play a familiar foe against the Minnesota Vikings in the Superdome. Dalvin Cook looks like he's going to be back. No way he can be 100%, though.
No way he's 100%. And, I mean, we're talking about a versatile back that catches the ball and also can run well. He's got to play a lot of offensive snaps to be effective for the kind of game that he plays. He's got to be in there on run plays and passing plays so that you can't diagnose which is which. He's just not going to be able to play that many snaps against us. There's no way. Not this big of a hamstring injury and the stuff that he's dealt with.
Another thing is watching the Vikings play against the Packers. And I'm contradicting myself a little bit because I'm not super impressed with the Packers, or maybe I'm not contradicting myself. I'm not super impressed by the Packers, but the Vikings, are they that much different when – he's on the field? They had no running game, but I don't think it had anything to do with the running game. The Vikings simply could not block the Packers front seven, which I don't think was one of the premier front sevens in football.
Well, if you're talking about last week, the Vikings lost to the Bears.
No, I'm talking about the Monday night game is really
gotcha.
The game.
Oh, yeah. So I agree with you. Like, I just haven't been impressed with the Packers. Am I excited about the, you know, that we might go to Lambeau Field? Not really, but I'm also not scared of it either because they're not a better team than us, but via the eyeball test. I've watched some of their games, and Aaron Rodgers has been the most inaccurate that I've seen him, even though he hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions. Let's be clear about that. He hasn't thrown a lot of interceptions, but he's leading the league in passes thrown away. He just hasn't looked accurate this year. And no, the Vikings, I mean, they're not the same explosive team that they were. We've seen the numbers from Adam Thielen this year, just haven't been there. And I believe Kirk Cousins maybe struggles in primetime games.
That's what the stats say. Kind of heard.
I mean, he's had some impressive games against the Saints. His three games against the Saints, he's had really impressive yards and touchdowns versus interceptions. But he's also 1-2 against that, against the Saints. The Vikings aren't a team that necessarily would have scared me at any point in this year. But I truly believe we're talking about peaking at the right time, which me and you have discussed this before on the show. The Saints are peaking at the right time. There is nobody that wants the Saints in the Superdome or on the road, in a dome or outside, on grass or turf. Nobody wants to play the Saints right now. With what Drew Brees is doing and how Michael Thomas has wrapped up the season, Alvin Kamara is coming back. Jared Cook put up a great season, even though it didn't seem like at the start of it he was going to.
He started slow, yeah.
My goodness. And now you got Tre'Quan Smith catching five balls and getting a touchdown. He's got a couple touchdowns here the last few weeks. The Saints are a scary team. We're averaging 40 points a game the last 4 weeks, and Drew Brees is about to turn 41 in 2 weeks, too.
Right, absolutely. Now, listen, I keep reading, and this is why we're kind of talking about the seeding. Of course, the first and second seed get buys in the first round. Now, super important not only to rest players, but you don't have the potential to get another player injured when you're not on the field. And so you're getting guys back, you're getting some rest, it is a better situation. Now, if you look statistically, the number three seed has not fared well in the past at all. It's the 1 and 2 seeds that significantly better statistically making it to the Super Bowl. But I made this argument. I said to everyone who had listened to me, the Saints are a better team than those guys. But that was just my opinion. So I actually, believe it or not, went out and did some research, Wesley.
Since
1999,
yep.
Only two teams, well now three, teams have ever been 13-3 and been in the number three seed. One of them went to the Super Bowl. One of them was the New Orleans Saints who lost to the 49ers. So, you know, if you want to make the argument, and one of them is still writing history right now. And that's this year's team. So my point is, in my argument, my debate is, you know, I'm not suggesting 50% of the time. I'm simply saying that this is not the 10 win teams. So statistically, out of the 18 teams, no, that was just the NFC side. Like half of them were 10-6 teams who were the three seed. So imagine who's 10-6 this year? The Minnesota Vikings. Well, of course, the Minnesota Vikings, if they were the number three seed, probably wouldn't make it to the Super Bowl, not because they're the number three seed, because they're not as good a team as the 1 and 2 seed. This year, it's different. The Saints are every bit as good, if not in some cases better, than the seeds ahead of them. I know it's going to be a hard row. I'm not trying to say it's easy. I'm not saying it's a done deal. But this team has a shot, unlike the historical data that says it's a long shot.
For sure. I mean, and you make the point. I mean, all these things about three seeds and all that kind of stuff, the three seed has never been the 13-3 New Orleans Saints of 2019, having right now the hottest offense in football, a defense that's really gathered itself. And I tell you what, Janoris Jenkins getting an interception this last week, I mean, he could be a real valuable addition here that we're seeing. And we're getting healthier. We've got some guys that are lost for the season, but our linebackers are coming back that aren't lost for the season. Kamara's looks healthy for the first time in probably 7 or 8 games. Jared Cook looks like he understands the offense and is making one-handed catches instead of dropping two-handed catches.
Right.
Things are going our way. We are not the typical third seed. And I'll tell you, I wanted the first-round bye. You know, the last time we had a bye, we came out and laid an egg against the Atlanta Falcons at home. So maybe this is my black and gold colored glasses and all. I don't care about us playing this week. I don't care about us going on the road right now. I think we're 11-1 in our last 12 games on the road outside. it doesn't even matter right now. I want us to keep playing. I want us to stay hot. Obviously, I don't want anybody to get injured this week, but we've got people coming back. I want these people staying with what we're doing. Keep the momentum going. Let's dominate this Vikings team. Let's rest the starters in the fourth quarter, and let's go wherever we need to go next week.
No, and I agree, and I think we're on the same page with this is simply. Now, here's the thing. It was proven last year. The best team doesn't always win in the playoffs.
For sure.
Depending on how the ball bounces. So there's all kind of things that happen. So this whole 13-3 thing, third seed, my point more than anything is that just because the Saints are the third seed doesn't mean that their chances are significantly diminished like a normal third seed would be. Now, having said that, we could go up to Lambeau Field. We could outplay them. We could be the better team. But all it takes is an interception at the wrong time, a fumble at the wrong time, somebody slips on the field, and next thing you know, you're giving up a big play. So you never can tell what goes on in these games, but those things could happen in our favor just as easily as they could happen against the New Orleans Saints. Sunday, noon local, 1 p.m. Eastern, we will find out what the Saints are about, starting with the Minnesota Vikings. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're going to bring Wesley back. We have some other guys coming in to visit us, and we'll be talking wall-to-wall Saints football.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. I'm Dave Romero. I'm the host of the BS and Beer Podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, and we're here talking wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football. Now, we've spent the first half hour of the show talking about all kinds of things. It's playoff times. It's exciting. It's interesting to talk about. What we haven't talked about much is about the game Sunday against the Carolina Panthers. Really, it looked to me from the beginning, matter of fact, on Twitter, which you can find me at SaintsBS. Always love to hear from you guys. Always interested in hearing your comments, and I appreciate your support. But I put on Twitter as a picture of a two men in a truck, but it was a line of them, and the caption was saying, the Carolina Panthers showing up for the game today. In other words, they packed the trucks. They're ready to move. And that's exactly how they played. The first, if memory serves me correctly, the first three plays of the game were just huge chunk plays, 12-yard run, 10-yard pass. They didn't put up much resistance at all. And matter of fact, one of the guys, and I think that he doesn't get the respect he deserves, and I call him old Coach A.J. Klein. And he has been a difference maker, had an interception for a touchdown, and you can just kind of see that he kind of reminds me, not necessarily in his play, but in the respect factor that old Scott Shanley got during our Super Bowl years in 09. He wasn't the most athletic. He wasn't the biggest, the fastest, but he knew where to be, and he had good instincts for the game, and that's what A.J. Klein is. A.J. Klein is a good ball player. And I would make the argument, although I felt kind of silly whenever I said after the San Francisco game, the difference in the game would have been A.J. Klein. Well, between A.J. Klein and Kiko Alonso, I think that those two linebackers do make a huge difference in the Saints simply because the drop-off to the next guy is simply it's a pretty big drop-off. And so these guys are good ball players, and they can make the difference. A.J. Klein steps in front of a ball, catches it, scoots into the end zone for a touchdown. He had a good game. Quite frankly, the way that Carolina was playing, it may have been a little difficult to tell if the Saints were playing really well or if Carolina was just ready to load up those two men in a trucks that they had lined up in the parking lot so that they can leave for the offseason. So, but the fact still remains the Saints imposed their will on the Carolina Panthers. Michael Thomas padded his all-time single season reception lead record. It was really good to see the Saints offensive line completely intact for that game. We got Warford back, who just a couple of weeks ago we feared he may be out for the season. We have Pete now back, and he has his issues at time, especially in pass protection, but he is a road grader in the run game, and when matched up against the proper defender, like everybody struggles against Aaron Donald, but because of the way that Pete's built, he struggles with the quicker guys with the three techniques, but he's generally outstanding in the run game regardless who he's playing against. And two, in the passing game, he fares better when he's playing with guys who are more power guys. He's just for a guy who came out of college as a left tackle, he just struggles in with his pass protection sometime against quicker guys. But when he's in the game, the Saints are a better offense. You can believe that or not. It's good to know that we have a guy in Easton who can fill in and play very well. Matter of fact, I will make the argument that as much as I'm crediting Pete, I do not see him being a guy that we will keep next year for the price range that he'll be looking in, that $12 million range, and I just don't see it. Somebody will pay him, and he'll probably be a left tackle next season somewhere. Not with New Orleans, but he'll be somewhere playing left tackle, and Easton will be our left guard. But right now, the Saints' offensive line is intact. On defense, we're starting to see guys that, yeah, it was hard when Davenport went down for the season, when Rankins went down for the season, but we're starting to see some depth that we didn't even know we had. Granderson, a guy that's the story of Granderson is ridiculous, really. He was a guy who was projected to be somewhere maybe fourth to sixth round draft pick. He got in trouble doing some inappropriate things and went to jail for, I don't know, the course of the summer. He didn't come to camp with the Saints. He didn't play in the preseason with the Saints. And when he finally returned to the team, not only did they take him back, they didn't put him on the practice squad. They left him right on the active roster. So the Saints obviously thought highly of him. There was a time early in the season where he got a little bit of playing time and he got a sack. But now with Davenport going down, he has an important role as a pass rusher on defense. He's played the run well. He's made some plays. He's being disruptive. And quite frankly, that really was the last person that I was expecting to be that big a part of the defense. But not that we're not missing Davenport. But the fact of the matter is that we have a gem in an undrafted free agent who's playing very well, and he's going to play a big role in the playoffs. Now, on defense, we haven't lost a step in run defense. But if you really think about another guy, undrafted, Tuttle, who's a defensive tackle, plays the run extremely well. He's very strong, and he's pretty athletic. Brown's already a top-notch player. Then you have Onyemata, who is the guy supposed to be the disruptive guy. He's been kind of quiet lately, but he makes his share of plays. The Saints may have lost some veteran leadership and quickness in Rankins, but what they picked up is bigger, stronger bodies in the middle, and we might lose a little bit in pass rush, but we gain in run defense. And going up against the teams like the 49ers, we will find that it would be to have good run defense is probably going to trump a guy who, you know, is a little bit quicker, especially against an offensive line like the 49ers. Now, I realize that's down the road, but playing those types of teams, playing Green Bay, once we get past Minnesota, assuming we get past Minnesota, you want to be able to play good run defense in the playoffs, and I think that this team is built to do it, and this is why I'm more confident than Saints teams in the past. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit because I think it's ironic. Early, we were talking about Antonio Brown. It just comes out on Twitter that Antonio Brown seems like he's a little upset. He said the Saints basically used him. Not basically. He said the Saints were using him as a publicity stunt. Now, if you remember, it's talking a little earlier in the show, Brown comes in. They told him not to bring the entourage. They told him to come in. They just wanted to be late. Let's talk and let's see where you're at. He decided to do things his way. The Saints aren't interested anymore, and now Brown seems to be a little butthurt about it. So if you thought that somehow he's humbled by this experience, does not seem that way. And at this point, you know, maybe I'm leaning to the other side again where I'm like, I don't know if that guy would be a good fit for the Saints. I think that we're in a position now where not that anyone needs a great player. So I don't want to even be silly in saying that, but we're moving on from that. One of the things that I've noticed that I think is something that we need to keep an eye on, the Saints in the last four games or so have been much more productive offensively, and there's something that has returned to the Saints game besides Alvin Kamara being healthy and being more explosive. Have you noticed how Drew Brees seems to be pushing the ball downfield more? Now, not over the top, not those 50-yard plays, but those 25-yard plays where he finds Cook or Smith. the Saints have been making bigger plays. They're throwing the ball over the middle, and primarily Cook has created his comfort level with Breeze, and Breeze with him has now created a whole nother level. Where in the past, defenses would squat on the short and intermediate routes that the Saints run from the West Coast style offense, now it's causing problems because teams have to back off a little bit, and you're going to see that being more prevalent, where now all of a sudden these guys underneath are going to have a little bit more room because they have to concern. Defenses have to concern themselves with what's going on behind them. So now I think this is the reason that you're seeing the Saints be more effective, score more points, have a better, they're getting earlier leads. And it's something that's been problematic for the Saints the last couple of years is kind of, they used to be the team that scored on the first drive all the time. I mean, they always scored right before half. They come out of the second half out of the locker room and they would score. That's not been there lately. But now we're starting to see the Saints go out, move the ball down the field effectively, and becoming more effective in the red zone, scoring more and getting ahead. And this is helping their offense. And obviously it's showing in the results. It's showing in the scoreboard where the Saints are now, I mean, they're averaging over 40 points a game in the last four games going into the playoffs. And the last few years going into the playoffs, the Saints have kind of limped into the playoffs. Now it seems like they're peaking at the ideal time. So we talked about the offensive production. We're talking about Kamara getting healthy, the offensive line getting healthy. Drew Brees, blessing in disguise. Now, it's not like every time you can have an all-world quarterback go down and still win all five games that he missed. But he seems to be spry. He seems to be fresh. He seems to have his legs under him. And instead of going into the playoffs kind of struggling, we're seeing the offense go into the playoffs. Healthy offensive line, healthy skill position players, healthy quarterback, and healthy production. We talked a little bit earlier about the defense. The defense, a couple of big injuries in the front seven with Rankins and Davenport being out for the season, but some other guys stepping up. And not just stepping up and filling in, but stepping up and making plays. So now, and we keep going back to this, and, you know, listen, you silly if you don't have your eye on the 49ers, because if we don't have to, we're fans of the games and followers of the game, we don't have to worry about the next game. We can look forward. The team can't. We can. And if you're going to get to the Super Bowl, it looks like the biggest roadblock is going to be the 49ers. When we played the 49ers, we didn't have our linebackers who are now healthy. We didn't have, matter of fact, we had Cook. He started off having a great game and then got banged up and came out of the game. So this game, if we end up playing the 49ers, it will be different. Because sometimes you have to ask yourself, okay, we lost last time, but what makes us think the outcome, well, if we make more plays, or maybe we don't have that one turnover, but we have personnel in the game. Pete didn't play against the 49ers. I think all those are key things. And hopefully we get to find out how we play the 49ers by getting through the next two games. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. Tons of Saints talk.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coon ass.
.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. I'm Dave Romero. With me on the line, Wesley Coleman. We're kind of doing our holidays. Dave's on out visiting family, live remote kind of version of the show. Wesley, we have to do our picks, but here's the thing. Let's spend a minute talking about the Minnesota Vikings. And it's hard for me right now after what I've seen from Minnesota to think that they are capable of beating the Saints. Now, I realize when I say that, every team is capable. But give me your thoughts on what Minnesota will have to do to beat the Saints in the Superdome next Sunday.
They're going to have to get turnovers, which the Saints just set the NFL record for the least turnovers ever in a 16-game season. I really believe with the high-powered offense that we have and how the dome's going to be, or even taking that out, the high-powered offense that we have, they're going to have to get multiple turnovers and probably even have a score from a turnover and a special teams play, but multiple scores not from their offense. Their offense isn't just going to be able to set up, you know, sit and play with us this year. I don't know when's the last time this year that they actually had a win over what you'd consider a good team. They've really struggled this year. We can go through their schedule and see, like, they're just not beating good teams. And the Saints right now are...
Well, it looks like the Vikings have only beat one team with a winning record. And once you find out who that team is in Philadelphia, the Eagles, that NFC East, the NFC Least, you realize that that's really not a huge accomplishment. So outside of that, I think they also beat Dallas. Dallas 8-18, but again, Dallas has lost to some horrible team. I mean, just their level of competition has not been that good. And when the Packers came to town, you saw something. Their offensive line looks extremely leaky to me because, again, the Packers are not known as being a dominant pass rushing front seven. And at Minnesota, Minnesota could not handle the pass rush. And I think to me, which was really the key to the game, because at some point or at no point was their offense, their passing game in a position where they could get comfortable and throw the ball downfield.
And I agree 100%. And a good point for us to make too. I know we talked a lot about losing Davenport and Rankins for the Saints defensive line. Our defensive line has played great. We're putting pressure on the quarterback. A few games where he didn't have high sack, but we kept the quarterback contained and we put pressure on him, and we're stopping the run still. This last game against McCaffrey is just crazy what we did. And so an offensive line for the Vikings that already has problems there, our defensive line, even though it's missing some people, is doing great. And our defense also, the blitzes that we're having are well-timed, and people are getting home on those.
Well, one of the things that I've noticed with the Saints' defensive line is that after losing Sheldon Rankins, which is some athleticism, we've kind of gone big. You got Tuttle in there that, golly, for an undrafted rookie, free agent, this kid has been a monster. And then you matching him up with the kid from last year who was an undrafted free agent rookie, and Brown, who's a beast in himself, Onyemata, who's supposed to be the guy that's a disruptor, and he has been at times. But the point is that when you talk about improving on the run, we took some athleticism out, but we added some strength and bulk, and now it seems that it's even more difficult. Now, the other thing you have to take in consideration is the health of our linebackers. So that helps in the running game, also helps in the passing game. But when you say that we're stopping the run better, it's kind of interesting how the Saints have gone about doing it.
Agree 100%. I mean, the guys you're mentioning, it's just showing our depth. But those guys are stepping up that would have been, like, you know, our third string guy earlier in the year and now are starting or taking away starting positions from other people. And then also, I mean, not to, you know, to forget it, Carl Granderson is playing a significant amount of snaps. This is a guy that we didn't know he was going to be on the team this year. He's getting some pressures on the quarterback, or at least containing the edge. He's not getting knocked around. He's hit some running backs, and he's been in the backfield and actually made a couple athletic plays where we thought somebody was breaking through the line. He's made some good diving plays that we were seeing Davenport make, tackling running backs too.
Yeah, no, he has been someone that unexpected. You brought up a name. I don't think much about him. He's not one of the people that pop out, but keep in mind, he's only been getting more playing time. He got some playing time earlier, got a sack, but then he's been inactive for several weeks until Davenport and Rankins went out. So now he's being active. And in the last several games, he has been a solid, not only run stopper, but probably more in the run, in the passing game, in the pass rush. He's being disruptive. Now, not getting a ton of sacks, but you can make the same argument with Marcus Davenport. You know, sometimes it's not about all the sacks that you get. That's a skill. Finishing has always been something like, what does that mean? But there is a skill to somehow getting that pass rush and getting pressure and turn it into – Jordan has turned into an art of – he used to be a guy that just gets pressure. Now he gets sacked. So whatever he's doing, he needs to share it with the other guys, and maybe they learn that from experience. But they're being disruptive, and that's the key. You want sacks, but you also want to make sure the quarterback is not being comfortable in the pocket, and that's something that against the Vikings, from the few games that I've watched, that's going to be the most important thing.
Definitely agree. Just kind of as you mentioned it too, it's kind of crazy to think about Cam Jordan. I mean, he's getting older. We just got a good contract and all in the off season, but he just had 15 and a half sacks this season, the most he's ever had in his career. And that's pretty awesome for a 30-year-old defensive lineman. Some of it was like, okay, at the end of this contract, he may not be playing his best ball, but you know, he deserves it because he's been here so long. He's playing his best ball ever right now this season at 30 years old.
Absolutely.
And you can tell that guy's having fun. He's fun to watch.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
To the money time now, so let's go over the pick leaderboard. Cajun Billy at the top, Sheriff Wilmot, Orion, D-A-O-G-H-B, Goblin Shiver, Touchdown There, Joe Groove, Kiss an Alien, Jazz Picks Wins, and Clay's Picks round up the top 10. I'm down there at like 16th. I'm losing a little ground, but here's our chance in the playoffs to pick up a little steam. All right, Wesley, we have the Bills going to the Texans. The Texans are 2.5-point favorites, not your usual 3-point favorites at home. Looks like the odds makers like the Bills a little bit.
Man, these Texans have been an up-and-down team where you just never know what you're going to get from them.
Yep.
I have a feeling after resting their starters last week, I think they're going to come in with a pretty good game plan. And being at home in Houston, I think that the Texans take that game and
now
cover
the spread. Here's something that I find interesting. The Patriots at home playing for a first round bye get smoked, not smoked, but they get beat by a team in the Miami Dolphins who are trading all their good players away, or at least half of them. I don't have the statistics on that, but I'm going to say it's 51.3%. And
sure.
And seems to be tanking for a better, that's not fair either. Quite frankly, they didn't tank for anybody. The organization may have said, you know what, we're getting rid of some good players, but the players that are on the field played hard every week, and you got to be
impressed.
Seemed
like winning wasn't an option.
And so now here comes the mighty Patriots, who we've seen, in my opinion, some chinks in the armor, some fall off in play, and they get beat by Miami. Now they're 4.5 points favorite at home to the Titans, who when they get their running back, they're a better team. They're a good team. Can they do it?
Man, I don't think the Titans can win this game, and I really don't think they can even get within the 4.5. But I think it's going to be just outside of that. I think that it'll be a game late, and I just don't think the Patriots are going to be worn out after this game. I think this is an extra game. They needed that bye week with the age of some of their players, including their quarterback.
All right. So now the Eagles at home to the Seahawks. The Eagles are 2-point underdogs at home.
Man, I can't pick the Eagles to win no playoff game, even at home. It's kind of sad. As much as we're talking about, it's sad for us having to play with a 13-3 record. The Seahawks going on the road to Philadelphia. It's kind of sad for them, but I think the Seahawks win this game, cover the two.
Okay, they just so banged up. It would be hard to pull for them, especially what we've seen and the teams we've seen them lose to. Now, give me a score. New Orleans, 8-point favorites at home to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints to win 38-23. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets up a little bit more than that. I think this game gets out of hand pretty early in the third quarter. We might see some Teddy time in the fourth.
All right, well, we hope to see that. Hey, Wesley, thank you for your contributions, and we'll probably get back to a more normal situation next week. Look forward to talking to you.
Who dat?
All right, so I am going with the Texans. I'm going with the Titans. I'm going with the Seahawks, who haven't been playing that well, but the Eagles are just so banged up. And now the Vikings at the Saints. Realistically, the way the Saints are moving the ball offensively, the Vikings have not beaten a team with a winning record this season. And quite frankly, I just don't think it's going to be a good game because it's a playoff atmosphere. The Vikings do have a good defense. They have good skill players. They're getting their running back healthy, but I don't believe he'll be 100%. I think it'll be a fight until mid-third quarter, and I think you'll see the Saints start pulling away. Everybody, thank you so much as usual. I hope you have a great new year. We always appreciate your support and listening to the show. So for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast crew on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Oh boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh girl, give your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. Oh boy, don't waste time.